May the Lord speak to us this morning, though. And Jeremiah chapter number 1. I'd like to read just one verse, and we'll deal with most of the chapter, but draw your attention. Let's read the first two verses. The Bible reads, Jeremiah chapter 1, verse number 1. The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests that were in Anathoth in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. And draw your attention to that phrase, verse number 2, the word of the Lord. Now, Jeremiah's day, as you read through the history and you read through his own life, you realize that the life and times of Jeremiah were in many ways quite similar to ours. The book of Jeremiah, I think, is probably one of the most relevant books in the Old Testament to us today, and that the wickedness in Jeremiah's day is very similar to what we see happening in our world today. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to notice that in our country, in the Western world, and really the whole globe, that the world is changing rapidly. And you can see the rise of the wickedness of man and the hearts of man who are seeking the pleasures of this world. It's crazy to consider it. In Jeremiah's day, there were people who were worshiping false gods. But the truth is that in our day, there are millions who worship false gods. They make money their god. They make lasciviousness their god. They make the pleasures of this world, whether that be the bottle or whatever it may be, their god. Our world is a wicked world. You think of the things that were happening in Jeremiah's day, things like fornication were on a serious rise. It was hard to even go out in the streets at night because of the wickedness that you would find. And is that not like our day? What city in the United Kingdom is it safe to go into past 9 o'clock at night? To see the drunkenness on the streets? To see the way people are dressed? It's a wicked world that we live in. One of the things that defined Jeremiah's day was child sacrifice. And what do we see in our world today? Your body, your choice, right? Sacrificing children to your own desires and abortion. We live in a wicked world. We live in times that we can truly see the depravity of man, the pleasures of this world. Jeremiah 2 verse 20, God describes the children of Israel at this time, and he says that they are playing the harlot. They've gone after the world. They've forsaken the one true and living God, the God who delivered them out of Egypt, the God who brought them through the wilderness, the God who brought them into the promised land, the God who helped them to overcome enemy after enemy after enemy. And they forsook him. And they've played the harlot. They've gone after their own gods and goddesses. It was a wicked world. Is this not our generation? Is this not the world in which we live? We could look at statistics. We could hear about what's happening in our world. But you guys know. You guys know what's happening. But we need to be careful. We do need to guard ourselves. Even as a church, sometimes we can think we gather together on Sunday and we've got our four walls of safety, of protection, and we can go out in the streets. But the scriptures do say, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. And we ought to guard our own hearts from such things. Be very aware of the reality of this world. But this is the time that Jeremiah lived. Very similar to ours. A time of wickedness. A time of total depravity. A time when mankind loved themselves. They loved the pleasures of this world. But God, in his infinite grace and his infinite mercy, he had a plan for the children of Israel, and you know that. You know that they will go into captivity, and you know that 70 years later they will once again return reading the books of Ezra and Nehemiah, and you know how God will once again work amongst His children, eventually bringing His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and here we are fast-forwarding another 2,000 years today. We know that God is still at work. God is totally in control, and nothing has surprised Him to this point. And God in His grace in this day, and all that was going on in the wickedness of Jeremiah's day, God raised up a messenger. He raised up a man. And this man is none other than Jeremiah himself. God raises up Jeremiah. Now, we already see there in the first several verses that Jeremiah was prophesying in the days of Josiah. And you guys are familiar with what happened in Josiah's day. You know about Josiah's reformation. And he was the king of the nation, a man whose heart had been changed. And he was going to make things right. And so he spent the few years in office that he had, if you will, trying to make things right. But the problem was, is he might have cleaned up the outside. They tore down some false gods and things like that. And no doubt in Josiah's own life, there was true reformation, revival in his own heart, I believe. But when you look at the world that he lived in, they went along with it, but their hearts never changed. And that's why within 20 years, the children of Israel would end up in captivity. The children of Judah would end up in Babylonian captivity. Why? Because they never really changed. But God sent a man like Jeremiah, a messenger. And with Jeremiah, with his messenger, he brought a message. We could say he brought words. And we know that words are powerful. A lot of people think that, you know, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. The reality is that is one of the greatest lies that has ever been offered to mankind. We know that words are extremely powerful and extremely hurtful. To have a loved one say things that can hurt you far more than if they took a knife at you. Words are extremely powerful. But here we see not the words of a mere human, not the words of just Jeremiah. Here we find the divine word of God. And truly, as you read the book of Jeremiah, you find that this is the message of Jeremiah. We could call it, if it had a overarching theme or truth, we could say that it is the words of God, the word of God, and the words of Jeremiah. One man said it's a prophet's voice for the sovereign judgments of God. It is about the word of God. And you read through here, you see in Jeremiah chapter 5, in verse number 14, it says, "Wherefore, thus saith the Lord God of hosts, because ye speak this word, behold, I will make my words in thy mouth fire, and this people wood, and it shall devour them." What a thought. That as Jeremiah spoke, it was as fire devouring the wood, devouring people, burning them. God was speaking through Jeremiah. No doubt, Jeremiah 1, verse 9, the Lord says, "Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words, God's words, in thy mouth." See, God was going to use Jeremiah. God had raised Jeremiah up. You see this here in this special call in Jeremiah's life in verse number 5. God was going to use this man to say, "Thus declare, thus saith the Lord." The scriptures say, "How shall they hear without a preacher?" See, the reality is the people in Jeremiah's day, the wicked generation of Jeremiah's day, needed the word of God. And I want you to know this morning that the wicked generation of our world, of 2021, quickly approaching 2022, you know what they need? They don't need you to paint a sign and march up and down the streets. They don't need you to cheer on about whatever great protest you want to get involved in. They simply need the word of God, the word of truth. It's interesting to me how many people give their time, they give their effort, they give their lives to protesting causes. But what good are those causes if people's souls shall ultimately still perish? The word of the Lord. Now we know in Jeremiah's day, not everyone responded. In fact, very few people responded. That's why he's called the weeping prophet, as he pleaded for souls and pleaded for the nation of Judah to turn. And they continually rejected the Lord. They continually forsook him. He was heartbroken. He was heartbroken. But this is the message that the Lord had. It's not a battle of politics. It's not a fight for human rights. It's not a march to save this planet. It was the message of the Word of God. A word of warning, a word of pleading for the souls of man to seek the face of God. This is the message. See, the truth is in Jeremiah's day, thousands of years ago, 2,500 plus years ago, in his day, people were standing up to proclaim words. But the reality is most of the preachers of his day were preaching lies. Sound familiar? Have you watched the BBC recently? Have you turned on the television? Jeremiah chapter 23 speaks very specifically to this. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse number 2. I'll start in verse number 1. Woe be to the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel against the pastors that feed my people. Ye have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doings, saith the Lord. Pastors were standing up and leading people astray. Verse number 16 of the same chapter, chapter 23. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own hearts. They speak a vision of their own heart and not out of the mouth of the Lord. Deception and lies. Emptiness, vanity, deceiving the people of Jeremiah's day. Oh, how similar is our day. But that is why this morning I call your attention and I draw your attention to the Word of God, the Word of the Lord. See, in verse number 2, Jeremiah says, to whom the Word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah. And verse number 4, then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, verse number 11, moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me. Verse number 13, and the word of the Lord came unto me. Very specifically, but so many other times the scriptures tell us that the Lord spoke. Verse number 15, God said, I will call. Verse number 16, I will utter my judgments. Verse number, as we already saw in verse number 9, he has put his words, God's words, in Jeremiah's mouth. See, the word of the Lord is a powerful word. It's not like the words of man. It's not like the word that you and I speak. It is a word that has the power to change lives. We're not speaking about just simple words, mere human words. We're speaking about divine words. The divine revelation through the Word of God, a spoken word, a written word. It's the same word that you and I have today that we can open and hear from the God of heaven and earth. We can hear what the Creator of the world would have us to know about Himself. What a thought. And yet so often we forsake it. And I myself stand guilty of forsaking so often the Word of God. Would we listen to him today? God has no doubt generally, or we could say naturally, revealed himself to all mankind through creation, through conscience. And we know that because God speaks through creation and conscience, that mankind is without excuse. Romans chapter 1. We know that all mankind, whether they've ever actually gotten to see God's word and written scripture, they are without excuse because God has written on their hearts his law. Though they might not read the Torah and see where they would stand guilty, though they might not see in the New Testament how Jesus Christ reiterated much of the moral law, they would know that they still stand guilty. But God didn't stop there. He specially, specifically, supernaturally, spiritually revealed himself to us through the divine word of the Lord. It is inspired, authoritative, inerrant, infallible, sufficient, perfect, and preserved. It is like no other book in human history. No other book speaks like this book. Throughout the pages of history, we can see that mankind has sought to destroy God's word, has sought to abolish its effect, has sought to remove it from humanity. Wasn't it Voltaire who said that by the time he was dead, 50 years after his death, the Bible, the word of God, would be nothing more than a museum piece? After his death, his house was turned into a printing press that printed Bibles. What a thought. Yet here we are. Here we are, still reading God's truth, still reading God's word. But I wonder today, does this word, does God's word live in your life? Is it real to you? I know it's real to your pastor, but is it real to you? Is it something that you hunger and thirst for? Is the God of the Bible someone that you hunger and thirst for? The word of the Lord. Notice a few specific observations out of this passage of Scripture, Jeremiah chapter 1. Notice first of all that the word of the Lord is personal. The word of the Lord is personal. God's word is for you. Verse number 4 says, the word of the Lord came unto me. Verse number 5, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. See, the word of God was very specifically, God was speaking very personally to Jeremiah. And I believe this morning that God would want and desires to speak very specifically to you. I wonder, will you listen? The word of God is a personal word. See, a lot of people like to say, oh, well, that book is for someone else. That book is for the pastor. It's for the elders. It's for those who are leading in the church. It's for husbands. It's only something that old people read into. But the word of the Lord is for you. It doesn't matter how young, how old. If you can't see, then listen to it. It's for you. The word of the Lord is personal. It's an intimate word. It's an intimate word. In John chapter number 20, a powerful passage. This one of the greatest passages when it comes to bibliology, the doctrines of the Bible. Verse number 30, the scriptures say, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. John was saying that Jesus Christ had done many more miracles while he was on this earth. Many more great and miraculous things, signs and proofs of his deity that are not written in his book, not written in the gospel according to John. But he says this in verse number 31, but these, the things that I have written, these are written, why? That you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye, you might have life through his name. It was written as a personal book for you and for me, for those who would open God's word and read it. These are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life. This is what people need. They need the personal word of God. There's so much that I can should be said about this specific call in Jeremiah's life as we look at Jeremiah chapter 1. But I think it boils down to this, that God had a plan for his life. He had something, he had a purpose for his life. And I believe this morning that God has a plan for you. Now, I don't know what that plan is. I don't know what God wants to do with your life. But I believe with all my heart that God would like to do a work in you. He would like to let the word of the Lord live in your life. But it begins by listening. It begins by hearing the word of the Lord. That's what Jeremiah said. The word of the Lord came by me. Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I wonder, are you listening? Not only is the word of the Lord personal, but notice secondly, the word of the Lord is performed. Now it's a weird word to use, I know, but notice what the word of God says in verse number 11. We could, again, I say we could say a lot more, and a lot more should be said about verses 5 through 10 about the specific call on Jeremiah's life. But I want you to notice verse number 11 as we see this doctrine of the word of the Lord. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Jeremiah, what seest thou? And I said, I see a rod of an almond tree. Then said the Lord unto me, thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word, notice what it says, to perform it. And so we see that the word of the Lord is performed. In other words, if the Lord says he's going to do something, guess what? He does it. He accomplishes his word. Unlike mankind, see, mankind, we change. And we often say yes to things that even in our hearts we know we will never do. And often we'll tell people no when ultimately we know that we're going to do that. We are changing and we're not true to our word. But see, the Lord, God Almighty, is true. His yea is yea and his nay is nay. The word of the Lord is performed. And so what God has said will happen. It will be accomplished. His promises are fulfilled. It says here specifically, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Jeremiah, what seest thou? And he said, I see a rod of an almond tree. Now that's an interesting thing that he makes mention of, but I think no doubt that the rod is a picture of correction, of judgment. But the almond tree, what does this mean? And from my understanding, the almond tree is the first tree to bloom. Now I don't know that we have almond trees in this country, do we? Maybe somebody, I don't know. But I've never seen when they begin to bloom, but from my understanding, they start to bloom in February, very early, before all of the other trees. And it was said that in Jeremiah's day, they often called the almond tree a hasty tree. A hasty tree, which is interesting there because the Lord says in verse number 12, for I will hasten my word to perform it. See, the truth was, is God was making a point to Jeremiah that he was declaring judgment and it was coming quickly. And I don't know the Lord's timing in things, but I do know this, that he has promised to come again. He has promised that judgment is coming on this earth. And I don't know how soon it will be, but I know that the Lord's timing is perfect. See, in this day, he said it was coming very quickly. The scriptures tell us that the Lord cometh as a thief in the night. I wonder, are you ready for him when he comes? The Lord is coming soon. His timing is perfect. About 40 years from when this would have been written or when this would have happened in Jeremiah's life, that the Lord said, what seest thou? I see an almond tree. It was about 40 years and Jerusalem would be destroyed. The truth is God performs it. We could go through the promises of God this morning as God says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Guess what? If God said it, he's going to perform it. He will accomplish it. He will never leave us or forsake us. He's true to his word. If God says, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Guess what? Him that cometh to him, he will no wise cast out. Why? Because he's true to his word. He accomplishes his word. He performs his word. And he does it in his perfect timing. Not only is the word of God personal, not only is it performed, but the word of the Lord is proven. In other words, the scriptures tell us that it's prophetic. And we can look back in the pages of history and see that God prophesied and told through Jeremiah, through Isaiah, through Ezekiel, and the rest of the prophets that things were going to happen. And guess what? We can see through prophecy that His word has been proven. It is true. The word of God says in verse number 13, "And the word of the Lord came unto me the second time, saying, What seest thou? And I said, I see a seething pot. And the face thereof is toward the north. Then the Lord said unto me, Out of the north an evil shall break forth upon all the inhabitants of the land." This is prophecy. The Lord was telling what was going to happen. Verse 15, "For lo, I will call all the families of the kingdoms of the north, saith the Lord. And they shall come, and they shall set every one his throne at the entering of the gates of Jerusalem, and against all the walls thereof round about, and against all the cities of Judah." The word of the Lord is proven. Prophecy, see, prophecy is not forecasting. We have forecasters. You can watch the Weather Channel, and they'll tell you what the forecast is going to be, but you guys know most of the time they're wrong. And you can almost take that to the bank, that whatever they say, that's going to be the opposite. But foretelling is what we're talking about. Prophecy is when God foretold. He said that it was going to happen, and when the Lord spoke, when the Lord speaks, it is as good as accomplished. It is done. It is prophetic. It is proven. It is going to happen. True prophecy only comes from God. 2 Peter chapter 1 speaks to this. True prophecy only comes from God. And you know the unique movements in this world today where men and women will stand up with a word from the Lord and prophecy that even contradicts the written word of God. But guess what? It's not true prophecy. The scriptures warned of false prophets, crept in unawares. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20. "Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation." Verse 21. "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." See, true prophecy comes from God. The scriptures warn of false prophets, false teachers, deceivers. And guess what? We see that in our world today. The words of man. But only do we have in the word of the Lord do we find prophetic authority. The word of the Lord is personal. It is performed. It is prophetic and therefore proven. But fourthly, I want you to notice this, that the word of the Lord is powerful. There is no word on planet Earth that has power like the word of God. What the queen says has great authority, great power, but it is not powerful like God's word. What the president of the United States says is powerful, but it has nothing on the word of God. It has nothing on God's word. Even the words of Satan are quite powerful words, words of deception, words of lying, words that have led mankind astray for thousands of years, but they are nothing compared to the power of God's word. Notice what it says in verse number 16. This is where we find this. "And I will utter my judgments against them, touching all their wickedness, who have forsaken me and have burned incense unto other gods and worshipped the works of their own hands." You say, how is the power of God's word found in there? Because he says this, "I will utter my judgments." You know, the power in God's judgments make all other judgments seem small. Even Satan himself, with all the power and all the authority he thinks he has, cannot judge your soul. He can only accuse you. But God Almighty judges. No other judgment stands in comparison to the judgment of God. Man's judgment does not stand. The judgments of the greatest powers of this land do not stand compared to the judgment of God. Jesus, God said, he said, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." John 18:6, just seeing the power of God, "As soon as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. This was the men who had come to seize Jesus on the night there in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he simply spoke, and the power of his word, the power of saying, I am, that God simply and of himself exists. Jesus Christ claiming to be God in that statement caused the men to fall down. But I really want to show you these words, words of judgment, the power to speak, and for people there, therefore, to spend all eternity in a place called hell. Matthew 7, verse 23. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Imagine what it would be like to stand in the presence of God someday and to hear those words. I hope not a single soul in this building ever has to hear those words and see them come off the lips of our God and King, that he would say, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, I never knew you. That's a powerful word, and it's a word that at which point people will literally be cast away for all eternity from the presence of God. I think there are probably no words of God that would be as painful as those words. And those words were speaking to many who thought they were Christians. Many who said, Lord, Lord, we cast out devils in your name. Lord, we did mighty works for you. And he would say, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. That's judgment. Powerful words, words of judgment that will cast people away from the presence of God for all eternity. But the good news is God's word is not only powerful for judgment, it is also powerful to change lives for all eternity, to quicken. John chapter 11, verse 43 says this. Notice on the day Mary and Martha were weeping, and the scriptures even tell us that Jesus Christ on that day wept. Jesus Christ was heartbroken because his friend Lazarus had died. But what happens? And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And what happened? He came forth. Words that give life. Many people, you've heard it said before, had he just said, come forth, then everybody out of the tomb would have started coming out. He had to specifically say, Lazarus, because the word of the Lord is powerful. What about the day when the four men brought their friend who was sick of the palsy? He couldn't move for himself, and so they took up the roof and they let him down amidst Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ, amidst the Pharisees, looked upon this man, and when he saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. The power to forgive sins out of the words of his mouth. Now the Pharisees, they didn't believe, did they? You know the story. They were wondering in their hearts, and the Lord, knowing their hearts, knowing their thoughts, and he said, what is better, that this man be healed of his palsy or of his sins? And he said, that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. He said, rise up and walk. And guess what? That man that day, he got up off of his bed and he walked out of that room. Why? Because the word of the Lord is powerful. And it changes lives. And there are some of you today, I'm afraid, that know this up here, but have never allowed the word of the Lord to speak to you here. That's why Jeremiah was a weeping prophet. Because he was speaking. He was sharing the word of truth. He was sharing the word of the Lord. And people were hearing it. And people tore down idols. And they saw a bit of reformation in the day of Josiah. But guess what? The word of the Lord never got a hold of their heart. I wonder today, what about your heart? I wonder, is your heart like the parable? Is it stony ground? Is it thorny ground? Is it the wayside? What kind of heart do you have? Are you listening to God's word today? Let me share with you one last verse that I think shows you the power of God's word. I'm going to turn to it. John chapter 3. In verse number 16. The word of God. The word of the Lord. Now some people debate whether these were the words of the gospel of John, of John the apostle, or if these were words of Jesus Christ himself. But either way, I'll tell you today that is the word of the Lord. And it says this. Verse number 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I wonder if those words ring true in your heart today. See, the word of the Lord is powerful to change lives. And I wonder, has God's word changed your life today? Have you heard these words and have they changed your heart? See, the Bible says that we can be passing from death unto life. Naturally, every single one of us, no matter our background, no matter our age, no matter where we come from, naturally, we are all born sinners. We are born dead in our trespasses of sins. And most people in this world think if they would work, if they would do something good, they might be able to earn their way of salvation. But the scriptures tell us that it's not by works of righteousness which we have done. No good deeds that you or I do today can earn ourselves peace in the sight of God. Even the good things, all of our righteousness are as filthy rags. We have nothing to offer God. But God, in his infinite grace and mercy, offers to us his Son. For by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I wonder, are those words true in your life? Young person, are those words true to you today? Maybe you've been coming to this church for a long time. I wonder, do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Is he your King? It's not my word. It's the word of the Lord. It is a word that can change you if you would simply listen to it.